Well, good morning, church. Want to just take an opportunity to just welcome you. Hope you have enjoyed our time of worship together and the opportunity to really just lift your voices up to the Lord, regardless of where you are. I want to just continue to encourage you to do that. It's easy to just watch our team lead us in worship, but the Lord is blessed by each of us raising up our voices to Him. And so just encourage you to do that. And listen, we're glad that you're joining with us this morning. Whether you are a member of Central Christian Church or you're a member of another body of Christ somewhere in this city or elsewhere, it's good to have you. Hope that this morning is a blessing to you. If you're joining us this morning and you don't know Christ and you're not a part of a church, we're glad you're here too. And I pray, at least, and I think it's all of our prayers, that this would be encouragement to you, that this might answer some questions that you might have or challenge you in some ways that you haven't before. And so certainly are glad that you're present with us. Just a couple of things I want to mention. And I've said this the past couple of weeks, but I think it's really important. Number one, just I want to continue to just encourage you to reach out to the people that are around you in your neighborhoods, wherever that is. Continue to be the church. Continue to love people. Continue to ask people how you can be praying for them. Ask them if you can meet any of their needs, just practically any of their needs. And if you can't meet those needs on your own or with your families or maybe with a group of individuals or brothers and sisters, certainly reach out to us. Let us know. As the church, we want to help come alongside of you. I know Donald, our outreach director, is certainly trying to help people with that as much as possible. So please be mindful of that. Also, I encourage you just to stick around to the very end of this time. It's really easy for us to just kind of bop in and out and kind of see the giant smorgasbord of all the things that are out there right now in regards to sermons. And I always believe that when we come to His Word, He has something for us. And so I just want to encourage you to stick through all the way to the end of our time today. And then one last thing, just want to encourage you to join us at our noon prayer times. We continue to do that on Facebook Live, and just such a great chance for us to grow as a praying body of believers, to grow as a praying church, whether it's in Wichita or all across the world. So with that, speaking of prayer, let me go ahead and jump right in with a word of prayer. And so would you join me right now? Father, thank you so much for this opportunity. And while it certainly is not what we are used to, it certainly is not what maybe we prefer, we are glad that we have the opportunity. We are glad that we have the medium to be able to be together. And so, Father, I just want to pray that you would bless each one of my brothers and sisters in Christ that are listening to this, Father, knowing that your word is, it is useful for convicting and encouraging and correcting and helping transform us in the likeness of your Son. And so, Father, by the power of your Spirit, may you do the work in each of us this morning or whenever we're watching this, that you so choose to want to do. And so we give you this time. I pray that it's formative for us as your people. I pray that you are glorified by everything that is spoken during this moment of time as we look to your word. And so we just give it to you and ask for your favor. In your name we pray. Amen. And before I jump into scripture, just want to real quickly jump back in and just share why we are where we are and why we're kind of in this sermon series, if you will. And it really comes down to the fact that, and I think this is true for most of us, I certainly have been really pressed to recognize that we've all kind of left what's normal for us. We've left all of our normal routines. We've left all of those rhythms and the escapes that we normally run to, the concerns a lot of times that we normally have. New ones have arisen, and all kinds of what used to be normal for us is now different. And so there's this new normal in a lot of ways. And I think that it's absolutely imperative for us, if we truly believe in an almighty God who has his hands in everything and who is seeking to refine us as his people, he is seeking to always glorify his name. I think it's imperative for us to constantly be asking the question, Lord, what are you trying to show us? What are you trying to teach us? Are the things that we need to see in our lives? Are the things we need to repent of in our lives, not only individually, but also as a church, so that we can come out of this season really growing in the way that you, that he wants us to, being refined in the way that he wants us to be refined. And so I believe that God is at work in these moments. I believe he's at work in this season. And I know this is like, these are questions I've been asking a lot in the past several weeks as we've been in this weird moment in history. And so that's why we're talking about these things. That's why we're in this sermon series kind of talking about leaving what's normal. And what do we go back to? And do we go back to all the same things, or do we need to shift away? And so last week, I want to go back to last week. We talked about prayer, and the challenge that was given to not only all of us who were listening, but even to myself, was to really look at our prayer lives and go, as we want to pursue obedience to God's call to prayer, right? That we would each look in our own lives and look at our prayer lives and what's ordinary in our prayer lives, and just seek to take one step to add that one thing. And I want to continue to encourage you to do that so that your ordinary prayer life becomes extraordinary. And so again, what does that look like for you? It may mean that you pray for 20 minutes instead of 10. It may mean that you pray for the first time every day in an entire week. I don't know what that looks like, but I want to encourage you that if you didn't take that step last week, or you did and you just didn't work itself out, continue to seek to be obedient to God's will for you, because I believe deeply that God wants us in that way to lean into those things, and he's going to bear fruit for us as his people in that. And so I certainly want to press you towards that, because I just genuinely believe that it's really easy for us to slide back into what's normal, to slide back into what's ordinary, to what's easy for us. And so I want to encourage you and continue to encourage you in that. Now, for today, you know, having kids as a pastor is always fantastic, because I find that as a father, most of, or at least a lot of, God's refining work in me personally happens through my kids as I seek to parent them, as I seek to disciple them. And a lot of you know, if you've been around Central, if you're part of Central, that 2 years ago, well, it'd be 2 years in July, which just seems crazy that it's gone that fast, we adopted a little girl. Her name's Jade. We're actually coming up on that 2 year celebration. Jade is now 4. And here's why I tell you that story. We picked up Jade when she was just a little over 2.5 years old. And for Jade, she spent only 2.5 years in an orphanage. Now, what's fascinating is you wouldn't think that 2 years in an orphanage would do that much damage. I mean, kids are resilient, and that's what's always said. But what we have found working with Jade, and if you talk to anybody who's adopted a child, is that what happens in those kids is they experience that trauma, as they experience all of those hardships in their lives, is that there are certain things that they always are going to go back to. It's a lot like a canyon, you know, the Colorado River, for example, runs through the Grand Canyon. It literally is carving out that canyon. And that is who she is. Like, there's elements of that 2 years that, like, no matter how much we love her, no matter how much we talk to her and share with her and try to make her feel secure, and try to redirect the waters of what's normal and what's natural for her, like, there's moments when she's pressed. There's moments when her instinct kind of takes back over and she finds herself right back in that canyon. So I'll give you an example, just real practically, of something recently that we experienced. We were having a discipline issue with her. And so we sent her in a room for a timeout, which we do all the time. Hopefully it's not all the time, but it seems like it sometimes. And if you're a parent, you understand what that feels like. But the timeout was over and we went into her room to get her. And Karen had happened to been working in the kitchen doing some craft thing. I don't even remember what it was with the other kids. And she walked into the room and said, "Okay, Jade, timeout's down." Well, she had carried the scissors that she was using in her hand into the room. And Jade saw that. And there was this bizarre, like, just strange reaction. Jade literally curled up into a ball and just out of complete fear recoiled and literally says, "Mommy, don't cut me with the scissors. Why are you going to cut me with the scissors?" Now just think, like, why in the world would any 4-year-old even consider that that was going to happen? Like, it's just mind-boggling. Like, none of my kids would have ever, even in a million years, thought that we would seek to injure them like that. And so what's happening in that is when Jade's being pressed, like, she's immediately going back to that natural instinct. She's immediately going back to that natural feel. And it's like, everything's kind of overriding in her mind what we've kind of tried to overemphasize is not true. And so here's why I tell us that story. Is it because while we would never do that, when she's pressed, she acts out of instinct. She goes back to what's normal. And I think for a lot of us, that's very similar to us. Like when we're pressed, when things get hard, we run to what's normal. Now, maybe I'm way off here. Or maybe as all of these things shift, we too could look at some of these things that we've naturally been pressed towards and see some things that have been carved out. Maybe some are good, maybe some aren't, that we're naturally running to. So to jump to my specific topic today, let me ask a question. And it's simply this. How many of you during this season, like once we stopped meeting as churches, as you've walked into this moment and you've experienced, how many of you have spent more time watching all kinds of different sermons on the internet? Way more than you normally would. How many of you are listening to more podcasts? How many of you are reading more Christian books? How many of you are listening to or reading articles and blogs, Christian articles and blogs? How many of you have been driven to do more of those things? Like, I know personally and naturally, I have. And I don't really understand why, but that's just my natural tendency. And here's the thing. That's not bad. That's not a negative thing. And I certainly have nothing against reading Christian books. Anybody who knows me knows that that's not the case. But here's what's fascinating. When pressed, what is already there, I genuinely believe only becomes more prominent. And here's my whole point, is I think that what this is actually showing us is what is naturally there for us in regards to how we view discipleship and what it means to be a Christian, right? So here's my thing. It's really easy for us, and then I speak for myself, to look for spiritual growth as a pursuit of more knowledge, right? Like we want to pursue more knowledge. We want to know more about God. We want to learn more. We want to read more. We want to listen to more. I think it's one of the reasons why when we come to moments like this in the first place, like we want to come to even a sermon like this, and you want to listen to kind of a lecture environment where I stand up and I share. And I mean like a lecture in school, not like the lecture of your dad. At least I hope that's not how you feel about our sermon times. But we come to these times to gain information, to gain more knowledge, to learn more. And so here's the thing. While that's certainly a part of spiritual growth, that's not the main piece of it. It's not only important for us to learn about God, to learn more about the Bible, to learn more about doctrine. And while that's great, I think that while we should be zealous for that, we should be equally as zealous to pursue our response to that. In other words, our response to what we learn. What do we do with that? How do we reflect what we've learned? How do we actually let the things that we've learned change our lives? So here's what I want. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. I want to read a text, and it may be a text that you're very familiar with. This is Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. Church, hear the word of the Lord. Now the 11 disciples, and this is the end of Jesus's time here on earth. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, there's a ton in that text. This is one of my favorite texts in Scripture. I think there's so much here in regards to what our mission is, what our purpose is. But here's what I want to focus on for this morning, is that last part where it says to teach them, right? And just let's just stop there. That's the first place. Like, what does it mean for us to go and make disciples? Well, Jesus says, go make disciples, and here's how you do that. You baptize them and you teach them. Now, a lot of times we want to stop there, don't we? Like, let's just teach. We need to be taught. We need to be taught all of these different things. And yet what's fascinating in this text, you notice that Jesus doesn't stop there, does he? Jesus doesn't just say, like, go gain more knowledge, go learn. Jesus says, teach them to do what? To observe. Now, the Greek word for observe is a really fascinating one. It actually means to see to the observance of. In other words, like you see to it, you take note of it. You actually practice these things. See, Jesus' intent wasn't for us as the believers in Jesus Christ to just gain more and more and more and more knowledge. The intent for Jesus was for us to be taught and then to see to the observance of those things, to actually practice those things, to do those things. John, throughout the New Testament, he wrote the Gospel of John and John chapter 1 or 1 John, 2 John. He uses this Greek term all the time. And honestly, it's one I think that makes a lot of us uncomfortable because it's easy for us in the church to recoil from this idea of works. And we certainly want to, right? Like we can never earn our salvation and we should never start doing things out of religious duty. But yet, John talks about this all the time. Now listen to how he frames it. Look at John 14, verse 15, for example. John 14, verse 15 says, "If you love me," this is the words of Jesus, "if you love me, you will keep my commandments." See what Jesus is saying? He's saying, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. Verse 21 of the same chapter says, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." It's the same term. What John's saying is like, listen, if you love Jesus, if you love him, you're going to observe, you're going to see to the fulfillment of all of the things that he's commanded us to do. If you go to 1 John chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, it says, "Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not keep his commandments is a liar, but the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may be sure that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." That's actually verse 6, so I went a little bit further. In fact, this is what he's saying. He's like, if you love God, you're going to observe the things that he's called us to. You're going to keep the things that he's called you to keep. Scripture isn't afraid of this idea, and we shouldn't be afraid of it either. In fact, the whole book of James presses us to be not just hearers of the word, in other words, not just ones who gain more knowledge, but people who are doers of the word. And what we know in Scripture and what we see in Scripture is that there's a purpose behind it. Like this is a reaction. It's not to earn anything. This is a reaction out of love. We obey because we love. Not just some of the things, but Matthew 28 says we obey everything that Jesus has commanded us to. Like it starts with faith. We trust and believe that Jesus is leading us to life. And as believers, we should continue to zealously pursue obedience to the commands that he's made to us because we love him by the power of the Spirit. Christian action is and should always be controlled by love, never fear. Yet why is it that so often for us, what's so natural for us is to pursue more knowledge, not obedience? Like, man, we can be on a hot pursuit to know more, to read more. And here's the danger. And I think our natural bend is that we can treat our faith like we do history in school, right? Like we go, okay, now it's time for me to learn about the Civil War and I get knowledge about the Civil War. And now that I've gotten the knowledge about the Civil War, it's time for me to move on to the next war or the Revolutionary War. I guess that was before the Civil War, but nonetheless, you get my point, right? Like you move on to the next thing. Like that's how you know when to move on. But the real test may be something that God is wanting to correct in us. And what he's calling for us to do isn't to learn more, but maybe what this is really about is, are we seeking to grow in our obedience to him more? Like, are we seeking to grow in more obedience to him, not just to gain more knowledge? We've actually begun to observe the things that we've learned. Have we begun to actually practice and see to the things that God has called us to? Like, what's fascinating is this isn't reflected in our other loves. So, for example, cooking. Now, I'm not one who does a lot of cooking. I love cooking, but I think it's a good example nonetheless. And I just want to mention, if you are someone who loves cooking, and you want to learn about cooking, and you want to become a chef, how do you do that? You don't pull out the Pioneer Woman book and start reading it from front to back and you read all of her books. Like, that's not what you do. You read a little and then you do. You read and you do. You learn and you do. And so often you're doing it there with someone else as they guide you, as they direct you, until you finally stick the thing, whatever it is, in the oven. And then you just kind of hope and pray that it comes out okay, right? You just kind of hope and pray that it's going to be there. Like, why aren't we doing this as God's people with His things? Like, why aren't we pursuing this kind of obedience where we go, okay, I just learned something. I just heard something. Now, how do I do that? How do I, in the power of the Spirit, seek to observe this? Why isn't this the primary goal for us every single time we open up the Word of God? And I'm speaking oftentimes on my own behalf. Like, it's easy for us to just come and want to learn more about God, but then not let it change us. Listen, it won't be perfect. It never is. Just like if you try to make a creme brulee the first time, probably isn't going to taste that great. Like, that's hard to make. But the more you practice it, the better you get at doing it. The more you grow at doing it. And before long, you don't have to look at the cookbook anymore. Because you're just doing, you're practicing, and you're doing it out of love. For cooking, maybe it's out of love for the one that you're going to provide the meal for. But what drives you is love. Do we love Christ so much that when He tells us and calls us to do something like pray, like, we pursue it with the same kind of zeal that we pursue more knowledge? Listen, I want to be clear. The point here is not to make us feel guilty or to fear the wrath of God. That's certainly not what we're trying to do. That's certainly not what I'm trying to communicate. But I think it is important for us to start asking the question, like, is this how we view our Christian lives? Like, do we come to church? Do we open the Word of God? Do we read more books just so that we can gain more knowledge? If that's true, then maybe this is an opportunity for us to press to think, well, how do I actually pursue more, to seek more, to do, and to see to observe the things that I've been commanded by Christ? Another text of Scripture, and I think this is a great one. This is out of 1 John as well, and this is actually 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. It says this: "Whoever keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in them. And by this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given to us." Listen, here's the amazing part of this, is that as we seek to obey His will, you know who we find? We find Christ. We abide in Christ by obedience. We abide in Christ by seeking to cry out to Him. And if you even look at the disciples and what it was to be a disciple of Jesus, like, it was them learning from Jesus and then doing the things that He's called them. There He was every time, never forsaking them. Imagine what it would be like if, instead of us as the church in this season going after the buffet of thousands of different sermons all across the internet and thousands of other different teachers, and if we took that zeal and started to apply it to, like, just applying the observance of the things that we learned from one. Like, I don't know how you are, but that's a challenge for me. It's easier to just go to the next sermon, isn't it? It's easier to just go to the next book instead of to pause and say, well, how am I going to actually observe this? And listen, I'm not saying if you're here from another church, we don't want you listening. That's not my point. Or if you're a part of Central, that we don't want you listening to other great teachers. We do. But my point is to press us towards what I think seems natural for us, is to just gain more knowledge without ever actually seeking to practice, without ever seeking to do anything different. See, here's the thing. You won't ever learn the thrill of driving a stick shift if someone just talks to you about how to do it. Like, you're never going to learn the thrill of being able to do donuts in a manual car and how easy that is as one who's done it if you just sit and learn about driving a stick shift. And this is what God is calling us into. He's calling us into life. And that life is only going to be experienced with Him in obedience. And the Scripture says that to abide with Him, to love Him, to be His disciples, this should be our pursuit, not knowledge alone. So, just a couple of very specific encouragements to you. Let's maybe leave the norm of simple information gathering alone. Let's leave that normal behind and let's enter into a normal of seeking to actually see to all of the things that he's commanded us to. Husbands, seeing to what it is to love our wives the way Christ loved the church. To actually seeing what it is to love, just period. Whether it's your wife or your husband, and love is patient and love is kind. Love doesn't boast. It doesn't seek its own way. Like, are we even practicing that well by the power of the Spirit? Are we praying that God would help us? Maybe this week, just slow down in what you're reading and the sermons you're listening to. And most importantly, the Word of God that I pray you're reading. And somebody say, what do I need to do with this? God, what do I need to engage? How should I respond to this? How does this change my perspective and the world in which I live? How should I reflect this? How should my life reflect this truth about God, about myself even, and about the world in which I live? Listen, that's not easy. It's not easy at all. It can be really hard, and we need to encourage one another as we pursue that one specific thing. One other encouragement, and this one's real practical. And the reason I give this is because I want to give us a practicality of how this plays itself out. So, for example, take the idea of loving your neighbor. Okay, it's really easy to go, well, what does loving our neighbor mean, and how does that look, and how should I do that, and do what the man who said this to Jesus said, and said, well, who's my neighbor in the first place? When at the end of the day, Jesus is saying, I want you to be the good neighbor. I want you to be the loving neighbor. What if instead of reading more sermons or books about loving our neighbor, parents, just use you as an example. Like, what if you grabbed your kids and together you baked a batch of cookies, and while you baked a batch of cookies, you prayed over those cookies on behalf of a neighbor that you live next to that you're going to deliver those cookies to. And you cook those together, you pray over those together as a family, and then you walk to your neighbor's house with your kids, you ring the doorbell, step back a ways because you got to practice social distancing. So step back, and then as they answer the doorbell, you just say, hey, we just wanted to love on you, let you know how you are, see how you're doing, see if you have any needs that maybe we could meet. Can we pray for you? And let your kids actually see you seeking to be obedient to loving your neighbor. Maybe it's not cookies, maybe it's something else, but still let them see you seek to do that. And then maybe next time you actually do the same thing. You cook the cookies, you pray over the cookies, you take them to another neighbor, and maybe this time your kids get to ring the doorbell and your kids get to say, hey, like, how can we pray for you? And your kids get to pray. How beautiful would that be for our kids to be being discipled in this way? Not to just learn about loving a neighbor, but to actually do it and to see their parents doing it. And so my second encouragement is you, whatever it may be, and let's just use loving your neighbor, like, how are you going to do that this week? How are you going to seek to be obedient to that one thing? And who can you call into that? Maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's your kids, maybe it's a group of friends. But brothers and sisters, let's seek to be obedient. Let's seek to observe all of the things that God has called us to do. Let's seek to not just jump to the next thing and the next piece of knowledge. Instead, let's be taught to observe, to see, to all the things that Christ has commanded. Man, what a charge. And may that become our new normal every single time we as the church pick up the Word of God. Like, what is it calling me to? And how should I respond to it? I want to enter into a time now of communion. And I just want to invite you into this as maybe an opportunity for us to just confess as the church and say, man, like, this is my canyon, my natural thing, my natural bend is to just gain more knowledge like I do at school. And maybe it's a time for us to confess that and lay that before the Lord and say, God, I want to be your disciple and I want to do the things that you've called me to do. And I encourage you to confess that and then to come to the Lord's table, wherever that is for you, as you partake with your families or your spouse, and as you take that bread and you're reminded that God's grace is sufficient, that his body was broken on your behalf and that his blood was spilt on your behalf, and that he's not going to punish you or punitively, that there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, but we simply confess those things, trust in the forgiveness of Christ, come to the table of a loving Father and seek to obey the commands out of love for him. Like, I'd encourage you to do that in communion. And as I talk about communion, if you don't know Christ, like, this is all it is for us as believers in Jesus Christ, is that we constantly have to come back to the grace and the mercy of God, because we're never good enough. We're never going to produce enough good works. We're never going to produce enough good things or obedience to His commands. He saved us. He died for us, and He's paid for our sins, and we seek to be obedient out of our love for Him. And so I want to encourage you to just process that. And if that's something you want to talk through, we'd love to do that. You can comment in the comment section, or you can call the church, whatever that looks like for you. We'd love to be able to chat with you about that. And then lastly, we're going to move into and encourage you to continue to give to the church. God has been very faithful to the church in this season, and we continue to reach out into the community. We are providing snacks for hospital workers. We're providing care packages for hospital workers. We're meeting the needs of people who are at risk by bringing them groceries and medicines. We're using our pantry to give food to people who need it. We're doing all kinds of things within the community and continuing to grow that. Certainly the offerings that we gain there allows us to be able to continue that ministry. And so please continue to be faithful to that as we partner together for the sake of the kingdom of God, even in this season. And then lastly, but not least, I would encourage you maybe just to encourage one another. Just very practically, as we want to be the people of God. And right now, write in the comments what it is you feel like God is specifically calling you to be obedient to this week. Maybe it's praying more. Maybe it's loving your neighbor more. Maybe it's loving your wife better. Maybe it's loving your husband better. I don't know what that is, but just encourage one another and say, like, this is how God's speaking to me. This is how God's leading me to be obedient to one thing. Focus on that. Do it and see what God does. I'll encourage you in that. And then before I pray, if you've got kids, right after this, we're going to be premiering some kids, Central Kids Ministry video. And so stick around and see what we have there for you. You can also find that on our Central Kids page on our website. Father, thank you for our time. Thank you for your word. And thank you for the challenge that you don't want just smarter people. You want faithful people. You know, people who, out of love for you, seek to be obedient to all the things that you have called us to do, seek to try and strive to see to those things for the sake of your glory in our lives and for the sake of life, because we know that life is there and we know that you are there. And so, Father, I just pray that you encourage each of us in this season to enter into a new normal where that is the driving pursuit of our hearts. That is the primary thing we're thinking about when we come to your word and we come to church and we sit together, is how do we live this out in a gospel kind of life? So, Father, may that be the case for us as your church at Central and all across this world for any who's listening. We pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, church, I hope you have a wonderful week, and we will see you right here again next week on 9:30 a.m. At the premiere of our online services. God bless.